the writers did the dialogue so...
What did you drop?
That was my phone.
What the heck?
The writers did the dialogue.
Put that glass of water down. What are you thinking?
It's not going to happen.
Hey, you're listening to Podzilla. I'm Jayshia Drake, and I'm here with my brother Micah Drake. And we watch through every single Godzilla movie or TV show in order of release date. Micah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Beast.
Well, you know, people who listen to the show regularly, they say they can't tell us apart, even though we're brothers. So I was like, hey, one of us should probably just change our voice.
This is true. I had someone say that literally this week.
Did they?
Yeah. They said that they just cannot tell when I'm talking. This is a friend of mine, and they say that they can't tell who I am, which bodes very, very well.
Well, there we go. That's why I'm changing my voice from now on. I've already lost the voice I was doing.
You have to commit, though.
I don't know why this is now. Yeah, I'm committing. Yeah.
How are you doing, Jayshia?
Good, man. I can't... Hopefully.
You said you'd commit 5 seconds later. Fold
it. I can't keep it up.
Fast as anything.
I can't keep it up. We need to buy some cameras.
You
go to a camera, a video-only podcast.
Video-only.
Let's just scratch the audio because no one can tell us about. Video-only with subtitles.
You know, people love visual audio podcasts.
Yeah.
Do people love visual casts?
We could be innovative.
Visual?
We could be innovative.
This is the new form of media. We're going back to the era of silent films.
What's the opposite of audiobooks? Video pods.
Yep.
We'll noodle on it.
We'll noodle.
Anyway, yeah, I'm doing good because, Micah, as you would have known, because we were texting earlier today, we have received our invite to the New Zealand premiere of Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
This is true. After the Oscars, we got sent gold-filmed envelopes. Personally, yeah. to both of us, each of us.
Yeah, personality, yeah.
Stamped with a little Godzilla claw.
Yes.
We opened them. We have red carpet tickets. To the New Zealand showing.
I don't know if it's going to be a red carpet. We're in New Zealand.
Has there ever been a red carpet in New Zealand for anything?
I really doubt it.
Unrelated to cinema, I don't even think there's been a red carpet in New Zealand.
I really doubt it. So I don't think we're going to get... It's not going to be like an opportunity to show off our Godzilla-heeled shoes. But we're going to the New Zealand premiere. It's going to be good. I think it's about 2 weeks' time. I think the day you're listening to this episode, we'll be watching the film 1 week from then. The day one week after this episode is released, that's when we'll be going to the New Zealand premiere.
Josh has pulled out his yearly planner.
I got there.
And had to do some math.
I got there.
No, it's good. We'll be recording an episode right that night.
Yeah, we'll be doing. We'll be leaving Monster Island. How does this work in world? We'll be leaving.
We've Monster Island
to go to New Zealand because we said it was a New Zealand premiere.
Yep. Because the latest adaptation of what
Monarch
what. Toho in heavy air quotes.
Yeah.
The cinema company, the filmmaking company.
Yes.
What they want the world to believe is happening
on
Monster Island.
We're too far gone.
Don't listen to Toho. We've got the inside scoop for you.
Wait, that's not even a Toho movie. It's a legendary movie.
With Toho's input. We're too far gone.
We're going to be recording straight out of the cinema in our hotel room like we did for Godzilla Minus One. So hopefully we should have the episode ready for you guys to listen to as soon as you've seen the movie. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend watch the movie before listening to the episode.
Yeah, we're going to be going to spoiler heavy territory. But Mike, have you been seeing all the promotional clips they've been putting out? Like one a day almost for Godzilla X Kong in the lead up.
No, after the... Watch the first trailer. After we watched the second trailer, I have intentionally kept blind because just like any other big hailed movie that's going to come soon, I don't want the whole entire movie spoiled for me.
Interesting. So you are confirming right now that you haven't purposefully looked at any of the leaked images of Godzilla X Kong. Is that what you're confirming? Because you don't want any of the movie leaked or spoiled for you.
Leaked from when? Has there been a new batch of...
No. Watch out, folks. There's leaked images.
There's a difference between looking at a couple screenshots and then seeing what seems like an entire fight between I don't know. That's what I saw the promo clip was called, a fight between these two characters.
Well, you're missing out on the newest trailer. There's probably going to be a million more since we've recorded this episode, but there's a new trailer that's saying it's all been leading to Godzilla X Kong.
Mm.
Every MonsterVerse movie, 10 years of the MonsterVerse. MonsterVerse is 10 years old. It's all been leading to Scar King, apparently, Micah.
Wasn't leading to Godzilla versus Kong.
Wasn't leading to King Ghidorah, who was like two movies ago now.
Man, Jaysha, have you loved all the breadcrumbs that we've covered in the past MonsterVerse films? All the little references to Scar King
hiding in every scene.
All the little references to Doug.
All the human characters they've purposefully woven between every single movie so that we've got a crew of characters that we care about. Yeah.
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 Dan Stevens.
Whoa, yeah, man. He was in
Calling It Now
2014. Didn't you see him?
Calling It Now, Legion is MonsterVerse canon.
Legion?
Beauty and the Beast is MonsterVerse canon.
The Guest.
It's MonsterVerse canon.
Yeah.
Those are in-world movies.
Speaking of MonsterVerse canon, we're talking about a MonsterVerse piece of media today. Mm. Skull Island, the 2023 Netflix animated series, R-rated animated series, I would say.
When I was watching the last episode, I paused it briefly on Netflix and I looked up in the corner and it said, rated 16.
Yeah, man.
And I was like, huh.
Dude, restricted. MonsterVerse.
Mm.
We just watched it.
This is the first restricted piece of Godzilla media.
That's
Godzilla official. Related media.
Yeah.
Wait, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah. So it's often forgotten about. Like, I've been looking online about Skull Island. It's not mentioned in many conversations.
I was in a messenger chat with you today and I tried to send you a little Skull Island GIF and couldn't find one.
Nothing. Oh, I was on Twitter not this morning. Or X, not this morning, and someone posted a list, and
not this morning?
Not but this morning. That's how you say it, right?
Not
but this morning, but it was this morning.
Yeah.
I was on X, and someone was doing, I think they were joking about that Godzilla X Kong trailer that was like, it's all been leading to this, and they were listing every MonsterVerse movie and show in the last 10 years. They didn't even list Skull Island. It's being forgotten about. It's been thrown away. So we're here to cover it properly. This show needs to be discussed.
Do it justice. It is wild coming off of the heels a few episodes back of Godzilla Singular Point.
Yeah.
Now, granted, that has been out for a few years now.
2021.
But I still hear that talked more about this show. After the first like 2 weeks this show came out, I have not heard a single message about it from anyone.
No.
Not a single post. Not but a single post.
Not but a single Skull Island post.
When you try search it up on Google, you get Kong Skull Island.
Yeah.
Then you get the Skull Island book that we just read.
Exactly.
And then I swore I got a video game.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about it. Let's go into everything Skull Island. Because listeners, we know how much you love the show. We know you're watching along. We know you're ravenous.
You were clamoring for this one. Should we delve?
Let's delve.
Into the Hollow Earth.
Okay, yes. Into the Hollow Earth that's mentioned once in the Skull Island show. Yeah. Charlie and Mike spend their lives out in uncharted waters with their cryptid hunting dads, Cap and Hero. But Charlie wishes for a life back on land. Going to college, meeting girls, making poor decisions. Little does he know that one of those things might be coming to him as a mysterious girl called Annie washes up in wreckage near their ship. From there, things turn to absolute chaos. The ship is attacked by masked scuba spies hunting Annie, but worse than that is the humongous iridescent kraken beneath the waters, which decides to show itself and decimate the ship. Everyone washes up on none other than Skull Island, and must all use their instincts to survive against a menagerie of terrifying creatures. Mike, are you ready? There are hawk monsters, croc monsters, grass hedgehogs.
Rock monsters.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a full-on Pokedex on this island.
Dodo birds. Terrifying stuff. And before long, it turns out that it's none other than Annie's own mother, Irene, who is trying to find her. And as all the humans regroup, they realize that there's no way to get off the island unless they defeat the Kraken. Something that only one big old boy can do. Kong, King of Skull Island.
You know what name isn't given to enough people nowadays?
Irene.
If Podzilla doesn't have any lasting legacy, can one of you listeners just please name your future daughter Irene?
Or Cap. Call your son
or Cap.
Was that his real name? The dad of Skull Island?
He's like, hey, call me Cap.
That's what he tells everyone.
It's his real name.
Man, this is something we both need to do. Just drop our names and just create little nickname aliases and tell people to call us that.
We need to, because we've both got weird names.
Yeah.
That are awkward. Like if you're at Starbucks and someone's like, hey, what's your name? I never say Jasha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Drake. My name is Drake. Yeah. 100%. Call me Drake.
I called a tutor of mine
Whoa. My
name yesterday. I told them my name.
You called them your name. You're like, hey, Micah.
My name. Yeah. I told them my name. And both yesterday and today, he's called me Mika so many times. I didn't correct him.
We do need names. What can we call each other? What? Call me boss.
How come you get boss? Boss is good. I'll be bud.
Boss and bud. Hey, welcome back to Podzilla with Boss and Bud.
Podzilla 36.3 with Boss and Bud.
This cast in Skull Island is pretty stacked, though, I must say.
Do you know these people?
You've got our main guy, Charlie. Mikey, he's voiced by none other than the Gumball Kid. The Amazing Adventures of Gumball.
Oh, he is Gumball?
I don't know his name, but he's Gumball. Gumball is playing Charlie.
Right. I don't think that's true.
Micah, Jake from Adventure Time is playing Wells, one of the mercenaries. John DiMaggio, Jake the dog. He's also playing Annie's dad, Micah.
Wow.
This next one's going to blow your mind. Benjamin Bratt plays Cap.
Jason, I know not but a single one of these names.
Micah, he is in Doctor Strange. He's the guy who gets healed and can play basketball. And Doc Strange is like, yo, tell me about how you got your powers.
Okay.
Benjamin Bratt is also from 24, which connects up the Kong Skull Island 24 interconnected multiverse between him and Corey Hawkins.
Mm.
And this last one, more than any of the others, I think is going to tickle your fancy. Mae Whitman, a.k.a. Roxy Ritchie from Scott Pilgrim? Roxy? She plays Annie.
Wait.
You know Roxy from Scott Pilgrim?
Wait, Mae Whitman.
Micah. Scott Pilgrim, directed by your favorite director of all time, Edgar Wright.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Exactly.
This is
stacked
good.
Cast.
Fun fact, she also played a character in the Godzilla animated series.
That's not true.
It's true.
What Godzilla animated series?
The American one.
Godzilla the series or Godzilla the animated series?
I don't know.
And I wasn't really joking about those monsters either. I think they have gotten very lazy with Skull Island monster names. Because if you'll allow me to start off just listing the monsters.
Yeah, I've got a list here as well.
They're the most uncreative stuff I've ever read. We got Kong, right? We got Kraken. They could have come up with a better name for the bad guy than Kraken.
Kraken's been around like 50 times already.
We saw a skull crawler for like 1 second. We'll get into it later.
It's front and center on the poster.
Yeah. We saw a Skrr Buffalo, the returning monster Skrr Buffalo.
Yep,
we saw its
yep.
carcass. And then we've got on the new characters, the new monsters.
Yeah. Run me through them.
Dog.
That's a name, not a monster.
What's the monster's name?
We don't know.
Dog. We got trapdoor crabs, which I mean, kind of cool. You've just put together.
It makes sense.
Trapdoor spider and crab.
It makes sense.
You've got an aloe turtle.
I like the aloe turtle.
Should it be called aloe turtle?
Yeah.
You've got hawk monster, Micah.
Eh.
Micah, you've got killer chameleon. Is that a great name for this kaiju chameleon? Oh, it's Killer Chameleon.
It does sound pretty cool, to be fair.
Is it Godzilla? Like, is it a Godzilla-esque name? How about Night Boy?
Night Boy is a super villain, if I've ever heard one.
This is a comic book title, Killer Chameleon and Night Boy. This isn't a kaiju show.
Killer Chameleon and Night Boy versus Croc Monster.
Croc Monster and Dodo Bird. Dodo Bird is like a giant dodo.
It's just a mower, really.
It's called a dodo bird.
There's a rock bug.
Yo.
These rock bugs look cool.
Yeah, but they're like made of crystals. Why are they called rock bug? They should be called something cooler than rock bug.
Mm.
That's the point I'm trying to get across. Vine snake, grass hedgehog, giant ant. What a great creative name for your monster. Giant centipede. Wow.
I've got some more for you. Venus flytrap creature. Skull Island fish. Skull Island birds. Unseen glowing sea monster.
I think I take back everything I said about how lame the Skullcrawlers and Mutos are compared to these creatures' names. And I liked the creatures overall because the whole premise of the show, pretty much, right? Adventurers get washed up on Skull Island. Majority of the show is just them trying to fend off crazy monsters.
Mm.
Every episode is another monster for them to fight.
Yeah, we covered the Kong Birthright? What was it called?
The Birth of Kong.
The Birth of Kong comic book a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like this does a better job of just showcasing the biology of Skull Island. They don't have as cool names as a lot of the ones in the book or the ones in the movie did. But come on, Jesh, you got to love Skull Island fish.
I mean, I did love the format of the show because, again, like the Skull Island Birth of Kong Monsterverse comic book, Kong takes a huge backseat in the show.
Which makes sense for something called Skull Island without the name of Kong tied to it.
We see like silhouettes of him. We see an arm here or there, but he probably gets into it like the last couple episodes. Really?
Yeah, last few episodes.
Majority of the show is giant monsters. And there were some real cool scenes. The Kraken attack on the boat at the start.
The crack attack.
When
that was good.
Hero, one of the boys, Mike's dad, just gets squashed as we see blood splatter on Mike's face. And then Cap, the other dad, gets trapped in a net and he's just like floating underwater while he's looking at this huge, like luminescent.
Yeah. This is my favorite shot from the whole show.
It's pretty cool, eh?
What a cool one to like end the first episode on. Did you have a favorite monster of the bunch? Because you mentioned in the Discord yesterday that this show is kind of a lot like one of our favorite gaming franchises, Monster Hunter.
That we've never mentioned on the podcast before.
Never.
Yeah, we both love Monster Hunter, which is a Capcom video game where you are a hunter fighting monsters.
Yeah, which is kind of what some of these characters do in the show. But what that game does great is real, real unique and original monsters, new creatures are put forward, and it does give them a lot of time to shine.
Yeah.
And this show kind of does that. Whenever a new creature is introduced, it always feels like there's a cool scene around it.
Yeah, and I reckon, I was saying it was quite like Monster Hunter because you get time to learn these like monsters' abilities and attacks, and there's a bit of time to breathe, and then the human characters need to try and overcome them by using the weaknesses. You get crazy scenes when they think they're out of harm's way, then a monster like chases them down, which is a classic of Monster Hunter, right?
We've all been
running somewhere to heal, and then all of a sudden the monster just comes out of nowhere.
Mm.
I loved the trapdoor crab sequence because the two boys, right? Charlie and Mike, wash up on Skull Island straight away. They're just stuck on this beach surrounded by little crabs that they pounce at any movement on the sand.
After watching this scene, can you tell me how to dodge these crabs?
Well, hear me out. They didn't even try sand walking, Micah.
What's sand walking?
You don't know how to sand walk?
No, what's sand walking?
Bro, when you're in the dunes.
Is this from Dune?
Maybe.
I haven't seen Dune part one or part two. Because I want to read the book. You're spoiling Dune for me.
Dude,
I don't want to hear about these sand walkers.
Dude, no, I don't. How did they actually defeat them? They just stabbed them with a spear, right?
Yeah, they kind of gave up on their tactic.
They gave up on their little tactic. But I mean, it was a cool sequence because it's pretty much a whole episode when it's just them struggling to get off the beach, which I really loved because it's
a
away,
fun idea for an episode.
Yeah, from the get-go, was like, this island sucks, man. These monsters are going to kill you. You can't even survive on the beach. No, you can't survive in the water, on the beach, in the forest. Like, nowhere's safe. But I think my favorite monster was the croc monster. Was that its name?
Serious? This is the one that did, like, the 10-point dive from the waterfall?
It's another episode when Charlie and Mike are just running away from this crocodile that, like, walks on 2 feet.
That's like half of the show, to be fair.
But it just chases them, this buff crocodile. And they think they get away, and then it just jumps, dives off a waterfall after them. What do you think about the use of 3D in this show? Because that croc monster segment was one of the times when they drop into the water, and then all the background elements and the water elements almost go 3D, while the human characters and the monsters stay 2D.
I didn't mind that one. There's another time they do it nearer the end of the show where they're running away from Kong.
Yeah.
Where it felt a little bit eh.
It was ambitious.
It was ambitious. It suffered a little bit because of it.
Yeah.
But I think the 2D sections really shined, the normal animation.
I love the animation, eh? I think out of the 2D shows we've covered on Podzilla so far, this might be my favorite. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. I think it was done by Powerhouse Animation. They're the same studio that did the Castlevania Netflix series, which I also really love.
Oh, nice, nice.
It is real simple, but it's kind of vibrant. It sticks to its style, and I quite like how all the monsters look in this stylized animation.
It reminded me a lot of, I don't know if you've seen any of the Voltron show, or even like, I saw little flashes of like Legends of Korra. Is that what it's called?
Who?
The Avatar spinoff? I haven't seen that or the Avatar.
The M. Night Shyamalan movie. Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
Did you have a favorite monster from
that? I liked the aloe turtle.
Wow.
I know.
Which scene with the aloe turtle was your favorite?
Bro, introductory scene. No, I liked it because something we saw in the movie Kong Skull Island and yes, Birth of Kong is that Skull Island is a place where flora and fauna are like very, very closely intermingled to the point of no real distinction between the two. And a lot of the monsters in this show, fantastic, like the rock bugs were a great example, but a lot of them were just a bit more monster-y than fauna-y. But the aloe turtle, man, what a good combo of the two. Love me some aloe.
Yeah. It is funny how they...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, what can
you
I say?
You can't tell me you don't love
I love me some aloe too, but the aloe turtle didn't really do it for me, you know? But it is weird that they didn't go all in on the already established Skull Island monsters from the Monsterverse.
Well, yeah, because we only saw the Skull Crawlers, I believe.
In a flashback, briefly.
In one flashback that was very quickly defeated.
Stabbed through the head, though, was pretty cool by Kong.
It was pretty cool.
Pretty R-rated.
That's very R-rated of you, Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was cool to see. And I do like the fact that they're showcasing more original monsters. One of the problems that I had with the Birth of Kong comic was that it lent too heavily on already established monsters.
Mm.
I think it's a middle ground, especially if we might get a second season of this show.
I think it's just a bit far-fetched that we never see any of these, like, according to the Skull Island show, these crazy new creative monsters are just crawling the face of Skull Island. Yet we never see any of these guys in the Monsterverse live action films. But I guess what can they do?
No, I can answer this.
Okay.
So in the Kong Skull Island movie,
yes,
there were a lot of hostile creatures, but skull crawlers crawled over the face of Skull Island.
Yeah.
Kind of keeping a lot of the other monsters at bay.
Oh, so you reckon
the herbivores from thriving.
The herbivores.
Yep. I think once Kong took down the demon skull crawler, what was it?
Skull devil.
The skull devil.
Yep.
That allowed the other flora.
The skrull devil, yes.
The skrull devil. It allowed the other flora to grow and start producing a bit more to flourish, yeah.
Yeah, because this...
Because most... A lot... Like, a good fair few of the monsters we see in here seem to be quite non-hostile. Like, we get that random, weird, crumply-looking cat.
Yeah. What was that guy up to? I don't even know. What is his name?
Got eaten. What is that?
What the heck was that guy?
Grass hedgehog.
Was he the grass hedgehog? Yeah, he was. Meowed like a cat.
Yeah, that's the grass hedgehog.
Yeah, because this firmly places itself in the monsterverse.
Yeah, I can answer where.
Yeah, please.
So, right as it was released, the director of it, his name was Willis Bulliner.
Mm.
Said that it took place somewhere in the 1990s, but it has officially been confirmed to take place between the summer of 1992 and 1993.
Well, so we've got a real specific
We have like exact dates.
because it's mentioned in the show, like the crypto crew, the guys
they're not called the crypto crew.
The dads and their sons looking for cryptids. How they get out to where they are is they buy a map off one of the guys from the Kong Skull Island movie.
Is that right? I thought there was someone from it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we actually met him in the movie, but he says, hey, I was part of the ship crew that took the original Skull Island mission, the classified mission to the island.
Ah, yeah.
And they went off in helicopters, they came back on a raft, which is what happened in the Kong Skull Island movie. So, I mean, this show wouldn't have happened without the Kong Skull Island movie.
That's true. And yeah, it's interesting. Sorry, it wasn't the director who said that. It was the co-showrunner Brian Duffield. But the fact that there is a very, very specific date like that makes me believe that this could very, very easily be a piece of media that the MonsterVerse movies tie in one day. Even just to be like, here's a document. Back in the summer of 1992, specimens were taken from the Kraken.
Yeah, because I've got some questions for you, Micah.
Yeah, shoot.
I say I got some questions. This first one's not much of a question. It's a discussion point.
Yeah.
And mentions the Hollow Earth once.
That's true.
It feels like it's just a throwaway line to be like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, we're in the MonsterVerse, baby.
Yeah.
When Cap's like, whoa, these things came out of the Hollow Earth.
I will say, I like it better than having Monarch in the show. This is the first piece of MonsterVerse without Monarch.
It actually feels refreshing.
It does. Not having just a super high-tech company busting on everything.
Yeah, because my actual question was, we get episode, I think it's the penultimate episode.
That's the last episode.
Is penultimate last? The episode before the last episode.
Is penultimate last?
Episode 7 of the show is a complete flashback about Kong hanging out with his best friend.
Penultimate is next to last. I didn't know that.
That was right, see? It's a flashback episode with Kong hanging out with a Skell Islander, as they're called. And we're introduced to a group of natives living on Skell Island that all speak Spanish.
And they're not separate from the Iwi, because we do see the Iwi shown in the Kong Skull Island movie in this show.
Yeah.
So there seem, between the time of the movie and the show.
So that was my question. Is there just like more settlements of different tribes from different places that are all on Skull Island?
I want to believe, since John C. Reilly.
Yes.
Did not know did not know about any other communities here. I like to believe that they're a Spanish like shipping crew that got shipwrecked there in between the time of the movie and the show.
We're also told that there is an island close by Skull Island.
This is Annie's Island.
Annie comes from. She was just there with her dad, and then her dad died, and she was raised among the monsters on the smaller Skull Island. That also is...
raised with dog.
But it also has stuff coming out of the MonsterVerse on it, because dog's there, right? And other monsters.
And Annie is quite a seasoned fighter, we're led to believe, in this show.
This is like a Jurassic Park Isla Nublar-like situation, right? The backup Skull Island, just off to the side.
but the fact that she's like a good fighter, it seems like it's insinuating that there are hostile monsters on Annie's Island too.
Yeah.
Man, give me a MonsterVerse Annie's Island movie.
Skull Island 2, we'll call it.
Skulls crossed out. Annie's. No, it's good.
What do you think about like the characters, the humans, Annie included?
I really liked a lot of the characterizations of the people we see in this show. Love Charlie, love Mike, love Annie. That trio is just fantastic. I think the dialogue, the writers did the dialogue so...
What did you drop?
That was my phone.
What the heck?
The writers did the dialogue.
Put that glass of water down. What are you thinking?
It's not going to happen. I think the writers did the dialogue in this show very, very well. From the first episode, I thought that a lot of these characters could have easily spoken in either very, very boring like terms and sentences or very like Gen Z-ified language, if you get what I mean.
Mm.
Even for a 1990s show. But I feel like a lot of like the jokes that were said were quite refreshing, and they weren't really in a style that I'd seen in a lot of shows before.
Yeah, that's what caught me off guard, because to be honest, I wasn't really looking forward to watching this. Like,
Jason, to be honest, same. I wasn't excited to watch
it. Yeah, exactly. I was interested, but I wasn't excited because I haven't heard many people talk about it. It just looks like your average, like, run-of-the-mill, cheaply animated Netflix show, right?
Cheaply animated, he says after saying that he really loves the animation.
But I actually liked the animation when I started watching it, and I really liked the characters, and yeah, it was just like refreshing how funny it was.
Mm.
And this might sound crazy, but I mean, we grew up watching a whole lot of Saturday morning TV, right?
What? That is crazy.
We've probably talked about it on the show before. Probably. I don't know how we wouldn't have, but every Saturday morning would wake up super early.
Are you going to talk about Battle Force 5?
We've definitely mentioned that on
the
show.
We have.
We'd watch like Batman the Animated Series, right? We'd watch like Spectacular Spider-Man.
Tintin.
And Tintin, The Secret Saturdays. Scooby-Doo. And
Bakugan. Let's keep naming some. Not Ben 10. We didn't watch Ben 10. Get out of here,
Booba. Second Booba reference in 2 weeks. This kind of recaptured that old school Saturday morning TV feeling for me. And it's weird to say because, I mean, this is R-rated, Mike, if you didn't know. But it was just like, just the way the characters interacted, just the back and forth quips, just the quite engaging action set pieces in each episode.
Mm.
Like, it's definitely 8 episodes to make up one coherent, like, big story.
I'd say even half of a coherent big story.
Hey. But you can take like one episode at a time, and it's just some fun characters quipping, a bit of an emotional scene, a nice fight. And you feel like every episode, you just feel very like engaged, and you come away from it just being like, yeah, it was some good TV. I had fun with that. And it's a feeling that I haven't really felt since those Saturday morning TV days.
Yeah, I think something that may contribute to that as well is it has a plot line almost like a lot of those shows. Mm-hmm. Like Secret Saturdays was the one about cryptid hunters.
Yeah.
This is the same thing, just like the Godzilla shows that we've watched.
Same thing, same premise.
On this podcast. We're used to our cryptid hunting shows. It recaptures a lot of those feelings. And I've heard a few people say that the characters aren't done very well. But I don't know. I think they're realistic in a lot of ways. Like, one of my favorite jokes was there's something where... I think it's when Charlie and Mike are on the beach and Mike says some grandiose statement about himself, and Charlie tries to clap back with another joke, and halfway through he's just like, dude, I don't know, I'm running out of steam.
Yeah.
Like, the leaves the joke in the dust. And I'm like,
I'm sorry.
No, I've never heard a joke about not telling a joke before. It's great.
Yeah. And even just some real clever cuts. There's a sequence near the end of the show where Irene is barking out to all her mercenaries. She's like, you do this. We need to figure out how to get Kong to the Kraken so we can get off the island. Sam, can you come with me and can I show you something?
Yeah, show you something.
And it cuts to her like sobbing in his arms in the forest about how hopeless she seems and how much she loves her daughter, yeah, who isn't like giving her love back.
Yeah, there's a good few jokes in here.
I was laughing genuinely. Way more than I thought I would throughout the episodes of this show.
And I think it comes across even so the second to last, the penultimate episode.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a flashback to, like you said, one of the Spanish civilians of this island. She almost takes the place of like the Andaro type figure.
Yeah, which is interesting because we never really hear her name or learn much about her, right?
Nah, I think in the credits she's just, well, she has one of those very generic.
Skull Islander. Spanish Skull Island Islander.
Yeah. But it's cool to see the relationship she has with Kong. And I think that's quite a cool episode. Like, I could have totally seen that episode being something that the team makes like a pilot of and then puts that forward to try and promo this show. But there's like a couple good jokes in there as well, even without the English dialogue. It still flows real nicely.
I will say like the biggest weakness for me was
Cap.
Cap was okay. You didn't like Cap.
I'll let you get on to your point.
You didn't like Benjamin Bratt.
I love Benjamin Bratt. Cap has a soothing voice, if I've ever heard one. I do feel like during the mid to late portion of this show, Cap is a character who just doesn't do anything.
Hey, he has an emotional moment with Charlie at the end. He's like, hey, son, we'll sort out this college thing. Don't worry about it, bro.
He washes up on the island, and while Charlie and Mike and Annie are like, finding giant ant dens and finding old relics of a bygone era.
He gives us the Hollow Earth monologue.
He literally just joins the villains, quote unquote, while Irene is still seen as a villain, helps them while they're trying to kill dog, and he just goes along with them, giving them information and just trying to chat Irene up.
Dude, he cares about the cryptids. He lives in that little gray area, right? You don't care about good or evil. You're just there for the cryptids.
There for the cryptids.
Yeah, man.
That's Boss and Bud. There for the cryptids.
There for the cryptids. That sounds phenomenal. Charlie Potts leads.
Yeah. I do feel like the other letdown for me, yes, character-wise, is that there are a lot of side characters introduced with quite cool like personalities and concepts. In the first episode, while we're still on the ship,
we've had this argument before. You don't like that there were cool characters that were set up then killed off straight away?
No. Is this referring to Kong Skull Island and something a discussion we had during that episode?
Yes.
I don't think the characters were built up that much in Kong Skull Island. In the first episode of this, we get introduced to, I want to say his name is Boomer?
The dude that can't hear. He can't hear anything. He's deaf.
No, I've got his name right here. It's not Handsome Merc.
No.
It's not Tracker Merc.
No.
It's not Crybaby Merc. It's not Hat Merc.
No, bro.
It's not Pointing Merc.
He wasn't a Merc. He was a deckhand.
He's not Hungry Merc.
Dude, he wasn't Hungry Merc.
There are so many Mercs. His name's Boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's introduced as like this deaf guy on the ship who just loves explosions. And he has like the character design of someone who's definitely not an extra. And I think that's what got me is in most shows you'd have extras as people who aren't very well drawn. Or yeah, your red shirts aren't usually very well drawn, or they don't have very defining features. But there was Boomer, there was like the one Merc with the glasses who looked like Rhys Darby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, these guys look like characters I could get behind.
But that was cool because they come in, they have some funny lines, and then they just get massacred by whatever monsters in the vicinity. Like, this gave me all the random people getting killed off without losing any of the main characters. I liked it. I was vibing with it.
Boomer was a main character to me.
How about when Boomer is like doing some deckhand stuff and a guy's just yelling out from behind, getting attacked by the Kraken, and Boomer just doesn't even hear him?
Yeah. He's too busy setting off his depth charges.
Great gag. Great gag with Boomer. Yeah, well, what I was going to say, like, the biggest weakness for me was just the overarching plot. Because there isn't really one. It's just survive and defeat the Kraken to get off the island.
Yeah, it's hard because the characters are trying to find a way to get off. In like the third episode, we get a helicopter get very close and then get slammed by the tentacle monsters. And then, by the Kraken.
Yeah.
And not knowing, did you know that there was a season two or a planned season two of this?
No, I didn't.
I thought this was like an isolated story in an isolated season.
Same.
So especially during the latter episodes, I was waiting for some
resolution?
Like, not even resolution, but just like an introduction to a plan of how they're going to get off. But that never really comes. So it feels like a lot of that latter half is just a bit emptier than it should have felt.
Yeah, because they get Kong, and we can talk more about Kong soon, but they get Kong to defeat the Kraken, and then Annie gets like knocked unconscious.
Kong throws the Kraken into the ocean, creating a tidal wave.
That hits Annie.
That hits Annie and Dog. She knocks her head. The end of the season is we're left with what? We know Charlie's caught in a vine trap and hangs upside down with the iwi coming to capture him.
Yeah.
And then Annie's like sent off to a building, a hospital in the modern day, in a modern day for the 1990s.
Yeah.
In a hospital in the big city.
She has a Captain America ending when she wakes up in the modern world and she's like, whoa, where am I? I've been in a coma for 2 weeks. Yeah. And we don't see what happens to Charlie. We don't see what happens to Mike, who's like deathly sick. We don't see...
Yeah, shoot. Mike is like septic.
Yeah. And we don't see any resolution to this whole like Cap and Charlie college arc and them coming to terms with each other and what they want to do. Like there's no ending to that. It's just everything stops mid-action and we're left on this Annie saying, where am I? And the whole show ends.
Yeah. Which is fine. Like with a plan for a season two,
like
it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some loose ends. It's nice to have a cliffhanger. But it feels like other than the Kraken being defeated, there's no real resolution other than that.
And the show was
which
trying,
you want to feel for any season of a show.
Yeah, and I think the last couple of episodes are a bit of a letdown in that regard. But then the show was also trying to do these weird like subplot things with Irene looking for Annie, and it, like the big reveal in like episode 6 is Annie, I'm your mom.
What?
And it was so obvious from the first episode that she was her mom.
They have the same color. Orange eyes.
They're the same character model, pretty much. She's just de-aged the character model, and that's Annie. And it's played up for this like big reveal. I'm just like, okay, cool.
What do you think of the Charlie x Annie relationship?
Charlie x Annie, like Godzilla x Kong.
Yeah,
you calling them lovers?
Oh, I mean, Charlie would very much like that.
Yeah, I mean, good on Charlie.
You don't like his interview with her?
I like Charlie. The guy's got charisma.
Charisma?
He's got some riz, Charlie does. I liked him.
I really like the main three.
Yeah, the main three, they played off each other really well. But yeah, it was the other casts were a bit forgettable. How about when, and this is just like classic animation things I didn't like, but there's a scene where Cap and Irene and the mercenaries are walking through, I think this is the area with the Venus flytrap creatures.
Mm.
And you know this thing in animation when they've got the, what is it called? Like the
foreground.
The foreground and like the back plate, the plates.
Yep.
So there's the painted like background of the shot, then there's the foreground animated characters that are clearly made so they're going to move or be animated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene when Irene's walking past Venus flytrap creatures. And one of them is clearly like part of the proper animation that's going to be moving against all the painted backgrounds. And it's like played up as a surprise that it moves and eats her. And I was like waiting for it the whole time.
A good example of this, we talked about it in our Scooby-Doo and the Ghoul School episode.
Is that on the Patreon? Yeah.
Especially in older animation like Scooby-Doo, if something's going to be moved in a scene, everyone can tell.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think it would happen in shows nowadays.
In 2023. Eh? Yeah. And played off as a surprise as well. Like, whoa, she was Eden.
Now, to be fair, it is only that one scene in the whole show.
You're right. Yeah.
Also, this show is like 3 hours long. It's kind of nice to have a shorter show.
Yeah, it was really good. We're going to be doing Monarch next episode, and that's like 10 hours or whatever.
I'm not ready.
Let's talk about Kong, because I think that's a big thing we haven't covered. What did you think of the big ape himself in this?
I liked how he was left out of the spotlight for a bit.
Mm.
He started coming in the show a bit more much before the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
And I do like that he had a episode devoted to himself. No, I like Kong in this. He's a lot more expressive.
I just don't like the way he looks.
What?
Like he's doing his little monkey laughs and his smiles and his walk around with his lanky arms and legs. I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't supposed to be MonsterVerse Kong. Like, I just can't, the two in my mind aren't the same.
I get that.
Titan, you know?
I think it would be very hard to make an animated Kong look like the MonsterVerse Kong. Because he does kind of look like, what's the little ape in Tarzan called?
His little gorilla friend. I can't remember.
Kong looks a lot like that.
The trashing the camp kid. Yeah. Yeah. That kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The expressions on Kong didn't really work for me. And I hated Dog. Just the way Dog looks. He's just this ugly. I've got something against huge dog characters. Like him and Lockjaw from the Inhumans. I just can't get behind
you these. Hate your bulldogs.
I just can't get behind these big, ugly dogs. I just can't do it. What kind of name is Dog?
I did like the name Dog, but I do like it for Annie's character. I love the idea of Annie's character being like a child that was left alone from the age of like 7.
Mm.
And just does not know anything about the modern world or many words.
But enough to speak perfect English.
Yeah. She's been keeping up with it.
Mm.
The thing I didn't like about Annie, and this irked me to no avail,
yeah,
is that she is wearing the clothes that she was stranded with 10 years ago. Admittedly, a few of them have been like torn apart and remade together. But you can't tell me that a 7-year-old and a 16-year-old are wearing the same shoes.
The same bra. Like, I don't know how that works. I'm a guy over here, guys. But how is she wearing the same bra she was wearing when she was 7 years old?
Bras grow with age.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Well, might get the bra expert.
Shoes don't. The shoes got me.
Yeah, I don't know how she's wearing the same clothes. It looks like it perfectly fits her.
Yeah. And also just her dad's like
jacket?
Sea captain
coat
she was wearing?
Yeah.
I did like that jacket. But you can't tell me that she was wearing that all the time at the age of 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Annie, man.
Annie. I will say, like, I loved the Kong and Kraken fight. The big finale was awesome. I loved the way Kraken looked. He's almost Cthulhu-esque.
No, I think he was a little bit over-designed.
Really? I think he fits perfectly. I was thinking about it, like, classic kaiju movies. I wouldn't know how to put him in a suit. But then I was thinking more along the lines of like Biollante almost is how he looks.
I think he could fit in with like Gamera.
Yeah, maybe.
More so than Godzilla, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked him though. He was crazy. Loved the way he sparkled. That whole fight was really cool. A lot of Kong's fights were awesome. How about that scene when he's fighting the killer chameleons?
This is like a good like 10-minute fight in the flashback. That was great.
But it was so cool because he like grabs someone by the tail and he's whacking it into things and the chameleon's changing color wherever he like hits the chameleon. On the grass, it turns green. On the rock, it turns gray. On the ground, it turns like brown. It's pretty clever.
Yeah, I loved that fight in particular because it goes to show that there are actually a lot of deadly creatures even for Kong on Skull Island. Like, 3 of those killer chameleons, they took so long to die.
Yeah.
One of them only died because it fell onto a spike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kong was getting owned in this.
The other one didn't die when it fell from...
Yeah.
No, that fell onto the spike. And then still survived.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
These killer chameleons, man. Mikey, do we have any trivia from Skull Island, or is it pretty...
It's
shallow waters.
It's pretty barren over here on Skull Island. I've got a few little ones for you. So, there has not been a second season confirmed to be made.
Well, it was interesting because I remember the show being announced in January 2021.
Yes.
And it's crazy to think that like it only came out like the second half of 2023,
yep.
Which is quite a lot. I remember like thinking for ages that it was just cancelled. So we just got it. Last year. It's pretty fresh.
And like we haven't really heard anything about it since.
No.
I've heard that it was generally well liked by the critics.
Hmm.
But no other seasons have been greenlit. But the second season has been written.
Has it?
Yeah. Although it has been said by the crew that they do want it to continue
the story,
whatever form that is in, they're not too sure.
It could be a comic book or...
Yeah. So if a second season doesn't get picked up by Netflix, I could very easily see it being part of a comic or even like little nods to it in the MonsterVerse movies.
Yeah. I think, should we get into final thoughts?
Dude, I've got more trivia.
Well, there is. It's not, not barren. Never mind.
Relatively. My one other piece of trivia.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
So in a Twitter Ask Me Anything, Brian Duffield.
Yes.
He is the...
Co-creator.
Said that if there were any Titans that he would be interested in pitting Kong against in the show, which they're technically not allowed to do because of rights. Godzilla is not even allowed to be mentioned here. But if there were any he would love to pop in, it would be King Ghidorah and have a King Ghidorah Kong fight.
I don't think I'd want to see anything less.
Now, tell me how that would work.
I don't think I want to see anything. Skull Island's weird because even though it's in the MonsterVerse, it doesn't fit with... It feels separate. Like it's referencing it, but the... There's
references
style.
To Hollow Earth. It seems like one of those... this is the same problem with the graphic novel.
Yeah.
Is this seems like a piece of media that's very good. It has ties to the movies, but that the movies could very easily just...
Kick under
the carpet if it needs to.
I cannot even imagine a world where King Ghidorah shows up in this style in Skull Island.
Do you think we're going to see like bite marks on Kong's shoulder in the new movie?
Whoa. From this? No, I don't.
No,
I don't
absolutely
so.
Not. give me your final thoughts on this, dude.
Yeah, well, I'm just going through my notes. Micah.
Jasha.
If you were on...
Excuse me? Boss.
Thank you, bud.
Brother boss.
If you were on an island, if you were shipwrecked and there was a waterfall, would you jump off the waterfall into the water beneath to get away from a monster that was chasing you?
What's the alternative?
I don't know.
Are you saying if I'm stuck in a, if I'm stuck about to go over a waterfall, would I go over the waterfall?
Do you think you'd survive? This is the thing that
I think I'd break a couple wrists.
You see it in every movie, right? Like any Indiana Jones, he just jumps off a waterfall, survives. But then I've heard too many stories of people we know in real life, like just jumping off a waterfall half that size and breaking their wrists
it's
and
not
like
even,
going
not
to
even
hospital.
Half that size.
Is it even like a humanly possible thing to do? Would you, just need to get very lucky to survive something like that?
I think surviving would be easy. This is another one of those things that irked me whenever this happens in any media. Like, sure, have them survive. Have them at least break a bone or something. They come out of it scot-free.
Yeah.
For an R16 show, man, give me some, like...
If you're going to go restricted,
up
right?
Arms.
Yeah.
Have one of the characters' arms be, like, twisted.
Have someone get a head ripped off. You're doing R16, you know? Why does someone go off a waterfall and just lose their limbs?
Let's count the R16-worthy things. We had... That first scene where a little bit of blood got sprayed of hero.
Yeah.
We saw an arm in the forest.
Yes. A leg?
An arm, a leg.
Yeah.
If you want to count Kong ripping open the Kraken.
Skullcrawler.
And purple rain falling from the sky.
Skullcrawler's head had blood coming out of it briefly.
Sure. Yeah.
That's about all.
Killer chameleon dropped onto some.
Why is it R16? It's an M. It's barely that.
We would have watched this on Saturday morning. We wouldn't have blinked an eye.
No. Yeah, I don't know. Did you like the little reference in the Kong flashback episode where his native Skull Island girl was like, wow, imagine all the robots and machines they have out there in the real world. Hey, Kong, we could build a machine Kong. Do you like that little...
Get ready for Skull Island season 2.
Mechanikong.
Where Monarch comes in with Mechanikong.
Yeah, I had a really good time with this overall. The like overarching story didn't do it for me too much, but I came away every episode laughing, having a good time. And I think there's some genuinely really good fights in this. And yeah, I think it's just entertaining.
Mm.
It's not anything like mind-blowing, but but it's still good. I'd probably, yeah, had a really great time overall. I'll probably like fling 3.5 whale carcasses through the air out of 5 for Skull Island. 3.5 out of 5.
I like it.
What do you think?
No, so similar lines. I don't think it's an amazing show. But I think there's a lot of things to like if you're looking to enjoy something. Like, I really love the humor. It seems like the type of show that could very easily have a cheaper style of animation, but it was fine.
Mm.
Some of the characters are great. I think, yeah, the biggest thing was that I would have loved a lot more resolution for the singular season.
That would have been awesome.
I really don't like the thing that Netflix shows do where every single Netflix show leaves seasons on a cliffhanger before they get a next season confirmed and they get canceled.
Yeah.
And like, I am almost half expecting this to never be a season two, for this to never be greenlit. As much as I would like it to. And I think that's the thing for me, is it seems like there's a lot of potential for further stories in here. Annie's whole thing with her being separated from Dog, and now in the modern world where half of the characters are still on the Skull Island with no seeming way of escape. Charlie's college adventures. I mean, Kong, what happens with him now? We have the opportunity to see more stories of him disconnected from Godzilla. And that was the main thing as well, is not the main thing. That was another thing, is in Godzilla versus Kong, we get told a little bit about what happened to the iwi on the island. I can't quite remember, but all of them bar the little girl got killed or destroyed in some way. And like, this Skull Island show is the perfect opportunity to show that.
Yeah.
Like, that would be really cool. Or even seeing like Monarchs return to Skull Island with a new vision to pit Kong against Godzilla. Yeah, there's a lot of cool places it could go. So I'm hoping that it gets picked up again. But if not, it's a fun little romp regardless. I think I'd be flinging 3 whale carcasses.
3 whale carcasses across Skull Island.
Yeah. Or maybe Annie's Island.
Over to Annie's Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's awkward, eh? Because I don't know how animated short form shows like this do well nowadays. Because the perfect crowd for it was like Saturday morning TV, or like a regular TV slot. But no one watches live TV anymore.
And this, all the episodes of this were released at once.
Yeah, and it just kind of gets lost on Netflix.
Yeah,
like I don't know how any animated shows do good unless they're already pre-existing long-running ones or like an anime or something that's hugely popular. Because are there any real popular animated just like cartoons at the moment? Not as much as it used to be, right?
Like just not non-anime cartoons. Yeah. None that immediately pop to mind. I think, like, I would imagine as well, when you have an established movie franchise, creating an offshoot in an animated format of an already like quite niche category of monster movie, I doubt many people watch this.
Especially because like a lot of MonsterVerse fans weren't exactly, like a lot of Godzilla fans aren't clamoring for a Kong Skull Island centric spin-off show.
No, definitely not. In fact, do you think it would be on Letterboxd?
Skull Island?
Skull Island.
No, it's not.
Did you look it up?
I did.
It's not up there. We do have it on IMDb. There are 2,481 people who have rated it, which compared to other shows isn't a lot.
No.
But I guess not a lot of people are rating shows they watch on IMDb anyway. So
yeah.
Yeah, I'm really curious of how well this show did numbers-wise.
Mm. Yeah, because I think there is definitely room for little, smaller-scale MonsterVerse stories. And I would love to see more TV shows in this vein, but I just don't know if there's an audience for it, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But if any of you guys listening haven't seen Skull Island, it's a good show. Like, it's entertaining. I think you'll definitely get something out of it, and it is cool seeing all the little collections, however strenuous they are, to the MonsterVerse. So, yeah, I would say give it a watch. Again, it's less than 3 hours.
More chances to see cool Kong fights.
Yeah, there are some real cool action scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next episode on the show, we're having to release one this coming weekend. because this time next week again, we're going to be talking about Godzilla X Kong, the new empire.
It's happening.
So
we're up to date soon.
We are up to date very soon. But before then, this weekend, we're going to be releasing an episode on Monarch, Legacy of the Monsters, which you can watch on Apple TV Plus. Every episode's out now.
Not sponsored. Apple TV Plus is a great streaming format.
Wow.
Good shows.
Really good shows on Apple TV Plus. Give it a try. But yeah, Monarch's on there.
You watched like half of this show.
I watched, half of Monarch Legacy of the Monsters. I fell behind and then I was like, hey, we're getting to it on Podzilla soon anyway. So I haven't seen the end. I'm looking forward to it.
I appreciate you holding back off the Kurt Russell.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of Kurt Russell talk next episode.
A lot of Russell talk.
But the synopsis goes, set after the battle between Godzilla and the Titans, revealing that monsters are real, Monarch follows one family's journey to uncover its buried secrets and a legacy linking them to Monarch.
And this has been greenlit for a second season.
Yeah. It also ends on a bit of a cliffhanger reveal that I already have spoiled for me. So it's going to be good.
It's going to be very good.
I can't wait to talk about it. So yeah, this weekend we're going to be talking about Monarch and then next week Godzilla X Kong. But Mikey, did you know Monarch, it's co-created by Matt Fraction? Did you know this?
This is like my favorite comic book author.
He's the writer, yeah.
Those of you who haven't read Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run,
yeah,
incredibly good. Incredibly good.
Yeah.
It's what the recent Disney Plus show is based off of. And the show doesn't hold a flame to the comics.
So you've got high hopes for Monarch then?
There's an entire comic issue dedicated from the point of Lucky the Dog.
Lucky the Pizza Dog.
Yep, with no words. It's so good.
Who knows? I haven't seen the later half of Monarch. We could get an episode completely from the perspective of Doug or something.
Oh my gosh. Imagine
Doug the...
Everything not shown. Everything of Godzilla X Kong not shown in the trailers is purely from Doug's perspective. Doug, Dan Stevens team up.
But yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Podzilla, everyone. As we mentioned on the show, we do have a lot of exclusive episodes. We're doing monthly exclusive episodes over on our Patreon, patreon.com/Podzilla. We do have an episode on the Skull Island tie-in comic book, which a lot of our discussions in this episode might have a bit more sense, might make a bit more sense if you also listen to that. So yeah, we'd appreciate the support if you decide to join our Patreon. And yeah, we really appreciate it if you wanted to give us a rating or a review on any of your podcast platforms. But Mike, I'm proud of the two of us because I think I've finally cracked the code.
Brothers, Boss and Bud.
I'm proud of Bud and Boss right now because I think I pronounced Skull correctly for this whole episode.
I didn't notice you say Skull.
Thank you. Thank you. Skull Island. I think it's finally, it only took 3 Skull Island centric episodes to get to pronouncing it absolutely 100% correctly.
I need to get this episode cross-marked by our mum because she's got the ear to tell.
Dude, listen to this. Skull Island.
Oh.
Gabara. Gamera.
Gabara. No, it is Gabara, isn't it?
Thank you. Oh. Ghidorah. Do you hear that?
Oh,
Ghidorah.
Wow. Wow.
Do you hear Serizawa? Do you hear that? Do you hear Shikishima?
Dude.
Bro, I'm unstoppable.
You're a changed man.
I am freaking unstoppable right now. Thanks for listening to Podzilla. Join our Discord server, tag us on Letterboxd, and follow us on socials at PodzillaPod. Links are all in our show notes. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/podzilla and get access to extended cuts of every episode and the occasional bonus ep. Huge thank you to Cassie Celine for our seasonal podcast art. And just a disclaimer that all music and additional audio used in this episode belong entirely to the Toho Company.